Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Hello.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Scott. We like to keep Scott working.
Oh, we're a little dusty. This isn't because we don't clean. It's because
they can't
been
see that, honey. They can't. No, they can't see.
Just in case you can. Now you know. There's dust up in here.
Scott, can we have some peanuts and pretzels, please?
Yes. See, look.
Okay. Well, yeah. I do need maybe a
That's
a rag.
Only because good things are happening, and they're drywalling and sanding. So that's
Switch.
Yeah, it's good. Switch. Okay.
That one's better.
Okay. Well, how is everybody? Good. I wanted to. Well, yeah.
He's gonna get a rag, so I'll stand for a minute.
I'll do my own cleaning. But I wanted to show that, have them show that, because, and on the Andrew Womack site, there are so many healing miracles. You just need to go listen to them. It'll build your faith. But I love it because healing is available to everybody every time. It's not like, oh, I hope God will heal me this time, or I hope.
And that's part of my prayer. I mean, honestly, I want to be a healing church.
Yeah,
I do. I mean, I because I believe it's completely scriptural. It's His will. It's in the Word, and I feel that that's what the Lord wants to do here. Because this is such a unique place and church. It's not like I don't know. It's Scott. I appreciate it, man. I didn't know the words. It could be. Now I have to wait for it to dry. Oh, look at you. You flipped the towel. You've done this before.
Thank you, Scott. Okay,
tell
we won't
wife.
Tell Andy.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, I
have. It's wet. Anyway, I do believe in healing, and we have seen it in our lives over and over and over again. And the Lord has used me and PK in healing. But I mean, really, this, in the entire time I've been in ministry, He was always using me in healing. Mm-hmm. Always. Where we would see amazing things happen. But you know, in our mindsets, we are geared to think that's it's a miracle. But you know, most everything in the kingdom runs by laws. And, you know, anybody can tap into the kingdom and find out that God loves you and He cares for you and He will heal you. And we really, most of the time, I mean, I never really realized this. I didn't have as much a faith problem as I had as an unbelief problem. And so I just, you know, I would believe like, oh, it happened for somebody, but it didn't happen for me. Or of course it happens for this person or that, and but I'd see Him do so many things, and that's what intrigued me. Really, I think with Pastor Gary, he calls it being a spiritual scientist, is what he calls it, because he asks questions like, why did this happen? Whether it's healing or something showing up, why did that show up? Why did the deer come when I prayed? I sowed a seed. Why does that happen? And so you need to answer those questions. Why did this person get healed, and why this person didn't, and why this and that? And those are questions that, as the body of Christ, we need to be able to answer those, so that we walk in fullness of the Lord and be like, okay, I understand that. Sometimes I don't really like His answers because it's me. It's never Him. So it's never God, but it's me. You know, you know, so I'm just jumping in further and learning more and more. And, you know, we talked last first Wednesday, and I'm trying to even remember the relevancy of everything we talked about. And it was good. I remember that, you know, we just tried to answer as many questions. And, of course, nobody from the audience asked us any. So we just thought, this is what you want to know. And so we kind of did that. But I think that our church, because of where it's put and what God has done here, that it has its own, everything is going to be in the Word. It will never be out of the bounds of the Word, but He has something specific to do here. And I believe that healing is a big part of that. Because there's, in this area, there's something that is needed to draw. I keep forgetting I got you guys over here, so I'm not trying to turn my back to you. I'm sorry. To draw people, you know, because I start asking myself, why were all these people, you know, when Jesus is going through the crowd, and we were just listening to some of that, and the crowd, they say, is pressing him. And he, the woman comes up and touches him and gets healed. And he says, "Who touched me?" And Peter is like, "Dude, everybody's touching you." And he goes, "That's not what I'm saying. Somebody touched me and I felt power leave me. Somebody knew how to tap in, and that's what he wanted. That's how he found that woman." So you guys start asking your question, how come the other people didn't get healed? Or we come up with our own ideas of healing, like, you know, everybody has to wear a garment that has a fringe, and if you touch the fringe, then that's the way you'll be healed. That's not what was happening, although that's what happened for this lady, but she declared that. So tonight, I don't know, PK, what was on your heart, but I just think we ought to hit on things that the Lord just brings up. We'll talk about them, and then, you know, we can pray for some people and go from there.
Turned that off a minute because I didn't know if it was you or me, the noise. As you were saying that, the thing that comes to my mind, because, well, let me kind of rewind a minute. Pastor Gary, he causes you to ask questions. He'll say, like, why did that happen? Like, why did she get healed? You have to be able to answer that question. Why did she get healed? And it didn't record anybody else in that crowd getting healed. What was the law? So the things that come to my mind, if you read beforehand, before she got there, she kept saying. So you need to watch what you say, you know, believing and speaking. And it's not a magic formula. It's the Word of God. Jesus is the very Word of God. And the Word of God is alive, and it's active, and it's operative, and it's powerful. And once we know that, mm-hmm. it becomes alive in us, and it releases that faith. It kind of opens that door so that power can flow. But so she kept saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And another thing, too, that's stuck out to me, I heard another minister preaching this. She came in the press behind, like she was behind. But she pressed. She had to press to reach him. There are times when healing will come instantly. You know, I love those times. You know, the you're praying and your prayer is instantly answered. But then there are times when you have to press. And it's not that God is waiting. You got to press a little bit more. I truly believe when we pray, he releases the answer. But I believe there are hindrances. And you can ask the Lord, what are the hindrances? It could be the enemy. Because, you know, in Daniel, it said the first time Daniel prayed.
3 minutes.
Pretty much it was 3 minutes and the angel was there. Boom. Answered his prayer. The next time he prayed, three weeks.
21 days.
And the angel said, I was released the moment you prayed. But I was held up by the prince of Persia, which I think basically that's the enemy. It was Satan holding him up because I think his sights at first were not on Daniel, like, meh, you know. But then he saw the power and the prophecy that Daniel gave was the prophecy of the Messiah coming. And so the enemy was like, doo, 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 you know, like focusing. We gotta hone in on him. So, yeah.
And that was Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the New Testament has a covenant, covenant. Daniel didn't have what we have. I mean, Jesus hadn't come.
But he couldn't rebuke the enemy.
Right. He didn't have the authority
that
we have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to understand, knowing some of those things, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. bing, light bulb. But in all of these cases, of different cases of healing, if I can touch his garment, she declares that. She says when her faith is going to be, when I touch his garment, I'm going to receive, I'm going to release and receive, bang, it's going to happen. The lady says, there's just so much, but it's so cool. You remember, I want to say it's Elisha that goes and she's gathering sticks And the Lord tells him, you need to go there. And I've got a widow that I've told to take care of you. Now, you'd like to think that'd be, you know, like, come on in. We have fattened the, you know, the calf and da-da-da. But, you know, she's like, I'm gathering sticks. I just have a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil, and I'm going to feed my kid. We're going to die. That's it. I mean, what a wonderful report. And he says to her, okay, well, do what you said. Give me a drink of water, and could you make me something first? And there's principles, there's laws that, so if we are looking at this, because I've never looked at it before, I was just preached at the Bible, and that's how I accepted it, and then if I had an idea, you know, obviously, but if we start going, why was it important for her to make something for him first? And so the New Testament and the Old Testament always back each other. They work together. In the New Testament, it is seek first the kingdom of God. So doing that first, do that for me first. And then there's, you know, speaking over that. And you, when it comes to healing or it comes to prosperity or it comes to, you set the gauge for what comes in. I never really took authority and thought to myself to be accountable for that, but we actually set that measure, and it says it in the Word that we, the same that we measure, it'll be measured back to us. That is set. We set that. Like the prophet tells her, go get, you know, they're going to take my sons away. Remember that story. Go get, and he says, go get some jars. Go borrow all the jars you can. Don't get just a few. And so she goes and gathers all these jars, and if you look at the Word, they go and they shut the door, because that's the instruction you gave. They go back in. They start pouring the oil, and the oil just keeps coming. And she says, bring me another jar. And her kid says, there aren't any more. And the Bible says, then the oil stopped. If she would have got a bazillion jars, she would be the richest woman on the face of the earth, because the oil would have just kept going as many jars as she had. Peter, James, and John. You remember Peter, I fished all night, throw your net over here, can I use your boat? All of those stories, that business goes in and transfers governments. When we talk about transfers kingdom, it's governments. It transfers jurisdiction. So when Peter gives Jesus his boat, the government of what that is under, the jurisdiction, the laws that that boat is under is now under the kingdom, is under Jesus. And so now he has the ability. And that's something that Kim and I, we weren't taught that. We didn't know that. I was ordained in the Assemblies of God. Nobody taught me that. I heard nothing, absolutely zippo zilcho, nothing like that. And they, you know, and they probably say, well, Brett, that's your own fault. I heard a lot of people. I didn't hear anybody saying that. But nonetheless, you know, with all of those things, and we start, okay, so if we're understanding this and we're understanding the dominion and governments and jurisdiction and how those things start showing up, he calls James and John's over, their boat comes over, and their boat sank. Let me just ask you, I mean, what did they do in that? Did they play any part other than coming over? They didn't. They didn't even answer Jesus. I mean, they were just over, I need you, come, you know. So what I'm saying is, if there would have been a bazillion boats, there would have been a bazillion boats full of fish. So we set that mark. We don't even, and that's why the enemy is afraid of us, because he doesn't know how much, he doesn't want you to know how much authority that God has given you to take care of the kingdom of God in your life and be a demonstration to people that don't know Jesus, that see it in your life and go, great God Almighty, what is going on? How did that happen? What is going on? I mean, that's what God wants. And God is not, he is not afraid of you having nice things. He's afraid of things having you. Well, he's not afraid. Let me rephrase that. God doesn't care that you have nice things. He just doesn't want nice things to have you. He wants you to understand that he is first. And so you are a steward of all the things that he gives you. So scratch the afraid part. I didn't mean the way that I spit that out, but I tried to correct it. So hopefully you get that out of your brain. But seeing the things of God happen, you know, you've hit something where you've never hit before. You've jumped into an arena that you've not seen before. And when the Lord is doing something in that, you know it's not you. It's Him in you doing that. And so, you know, tonight, just wanted to go over just a couple, three stories, and then PK, you jump in whenever you want. Just things that, because I asked the Lord, you know, because I was just talking to Scott, and I said, basically, I was telling Scott, massive crowd, you know, and but the important people that need to be here are here. Now, everybody could be here. Yes, we get it. But what I'm saying is, you are enough to take the kingdom and people to be like, what is going on? And get something started and people like, oh, my word, what is happening? I have been in situations and places that all I did was make myself available to the Lord where I believe. It's just that, so I just would believe. If the Lord said it, I would believe. And, you know, you've heard some of those stories. I'll condense them quickly. But, I mean, going early to do a message, I was going to do a message on, I can't even remember what, but he told me to I think it was worship. And I was excited about this message. I was on staff. I was an assistant and youth pastor, and I was already the most assistant youth pastor that the senior pastor used all the time. He used me like almost every Sunday night, and it was awesome. I mean, I got to kind of cut my teeth on, oh, this is cool. And God started doing things as God does. And it was really an amazing thing. It was really cool. I mean, at times in my life, I've heard God audibly. I've told you that before. This was one of those times. I came into the auditorium, and I came in, and they had where they had the screens up. You were the side ones. You couldn't, you know, you didn't sit in the side because on a Sunday night, a lot of times they just try to crowd everybody into the, you know. And so I sat on one of the side things, and it was like 4 o'clock. Service was at 6. And she knew where I was, and God spoke to me that night audibly, and it was just like all around me, almost like surround sound in a movie theater. And I remember I got up and went and looked, trying to find like somebody was playing, tugging on my chain or something, and there was nobody there. And then I realized it was God, and it was almost like every hair on my body felt like, you know, was going through the, going to do the break dance thing or something. And I mean, the only thing I can remember that I, for whatever reason, nobody ever told me, I just felt like I needed to get on the ground. So I just got down on my face, and he told me what he said, and he said it loud, said it as clear as I'm talking to you now. My people don't know how to worship me. And I just laid there. I mean, I'm kind of afraid. I'm not like scared, but just like, I don't know what to do. It's not very many times it seems like that she'll catch me when I don't know what to do. But to make a long story short, then I went into the service, and I was just, you know, that of course that was in my mind. I changed my message. I said, okay, and this is what I told him. I said, I'll talk about worship, you know, or whatever you want. And so to make a long story short, when I went in, I came up to sit on the platform, and the pastor always had us, we were on staff, and some of you teenagers, you will appreciate this. I hated that because you had to sit up here and you looked at the congregation during the whole service. Well, you can't nod off if you're up front, you know, because everybody's like, look at PB, he's going to sleep. You can't pick your nose. You can't do nothing. Not that you would, but, you know, I mean, if you scratch it too much or you sneeze and you keep sneezing, you know, you have to excuse yourself. It's just, I never liked that. When he let us sit out in the crowd, I always moved. I'd sit one week, I'd sit like over here. The next week, I'd sit over here. The next week, I'd sit over here. The next week, and he'd said it, I don't know how many times, where's PB? Where's Pastor Brett? And I'd be like, I'm over here. What are you doing over here? And I just would say, because I'm with my people. But, I mean, I was with old people, young people, middle-aged people. I just loved people, still do. And I just wanted them all to feel part. So it was just, I didn't have any special seats. Anyway, this service, everybody in the seat, it's just like I was looking out, and there was just two sections, and they were full, and everybody was black and white, just like you're watching Andy Griffith, except three people. Three people were in livid color. They were bright and they were in color, but everybody else was black and white. And the Lord said, I have a word for them. And I knew he meant the three people in color. So I got through what he told me to do. I did that, and I walked down, and the first lady was sitting in the front, and she was older, probably in her 70s. But she was like a saint, man. She was like one of these ladies that are like, take the mantle, go with the Lord. You know, she was just there, and she was wonderful. She'd pray for you at the drop of a hat, you know, and encourage you. I really liked her. She was just and the Lord gave me a word, and I went down to her, and I asked her to stand up. And when she sat down, I'm just being as honest as I can. I'm not holding anything back. I'm not embellishing on anything. When I stood in front of her, I got nothing. Absolutely blank. And I asked her to stand up because I felt prompted to ask her. So as soon as she stood up, I saw, like, if you've ever seen in the movies the Dow Jones ticker tape, you know, the stock went down 4.5, blah, 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 and it was just going across. And I could see it. And it had words on it. And nobody else could see it. But she's here, and I'm looking right above her head, and I see this. And the Lord said to me, he goes, Brett, read it. I was like, oh, okay. Could you rewind it? No. But, I mean, he started again, and I just read it to her. And basically was reading her mail for the last few days. I never knew what she did, didn't know what was going on, didn't know what happened. She just went, oh, and went to fall down. I went to grab her because I thought, I've killed her. And I went to grab her, and the usher went and grabbed me to grab her, and he fell down. He just went like a poof, poof. And it was not a pretty fall. He hit the chairs and hit the ground, and he was out, and another guy's like that, and then she already fell, and he came over, and he was trying to get her up, and I said something like, let me help you, and I like that, and he went down, and then somebody else went down, and another one went down, and down, and down, and finally, I just put my hands and went like this, and the pastor's like, what are you doing? I don't know. I went to each of those three people. Look, I got goosebumps right now. Each of those three people, and I had a word for them. She was the only one that did the ticker tape. The others, it's just like he just told me. I don't know why. And so I just said whatever he said. And I told the last guy, he had just come to church, and he had a boy. And I want to say his name was Mark. And I said, your boy's name is Mark. I didn't know him from Adam, didn't know him from Eve. I mean, I didn't know him. And I said, and he's 7 years old. He, you know, da da da. So I just gave this specific information. And he just looked at me, and he turned just like white. And I prayed for him. Down he went. That service, there were so many people down on the ground. And down on the ground is not like, oh, you have to be down on the ground. You have to be knocked out. I'm just saying, there was such a presence of the Lord in there. It was crazy. It was, but as me as the minister, I was like, God, you are so amazing. I saw so many things that he would do in that same building on staff. The youth group was 53 students when I started youth there. And I built it clear up to about 18. And, because I went in and I changed everything. Because there was a guy that was in there before, and he was the sectional rep. So he was a big dude in youth. And I wasn't him, and I wasn't going to be him. I was going to be me. And we had families that left because they liked the other youth. And it was hard because the pastor kind of took that personal. And, I didn't tell him to leave. I didn't ask him to leave. I didn't want him to leave. And it was hard. But then the group went from 18 that we had nearly up to almost 100 by the time it was over. And so God had turned things around. But he gave me an idea and a plan, and it worked, of course. But in one of the services, as we really started growing, the kids bonded. They were an incredible group of students, but not more incredible than the kids we have. But they're incredible. And we were having a service, and it was it was going to be a fun service, but it was a good service. And some guy walks in, and he ain't right, y'all. I mean, he's all bound up. He's possessed. And he came in, and he's growling and making noises and comes down the front, and I hear all these students screaming. And, well, mostly girls. Probably some guys might have screamed. And I mean, there was probably 60 kids there, maybe. And I had adults that were helping and everything, and this guy was just, and he started cursing, and he was staring at me, and and all that stuff, and everybody screamed, and they were like, you know, like you take Dawn dishwashing liquid and you drop in a thing of grease, and the grease goes, shoo. That's what all these students and all my leaders did. Shoo. They all ran to one side, and they were like on top of each other, and like this, and the one leader said, we're going to let you take care of that, PB. And I mean, but inside of that, part of there was fear that came, and I just got rid of that because there was nobody else. Does that make sense? I mean, the leaders, it's not like they didn't love God, or the students, not like they didn't love God, but there was just like, I felt like, I got to take care of this. The Lord's going to use me to take care of this. And I remember just feeling this boldness. And I just walked right up to that dude and I said, you shut up in the name of Jesus. Sit yourself down right now. And that guy just, I mean, sat down in a chair like he was mad. But he wasn't saying anything. Now he was mumbling a lot. And, you know, and so I just prayed over him. I asked for a couple leaders to come. And they're like, But, you know, they were kind of. But anyway, in just about 10, 15 minutes, that guy was talking in his right mind. He walked out of the building totally free. And it's not like I was a veteran, okay? It was just like something had to be done. My point is sometimes you guys sell yourself short, and you're always, you know, in your mind, you're like, I wish so-and-so was here. What if God wants you to be there and you to take charge and you to use authority and you to, you know, in the name of Jesus, you to pray, you to cast out? And it just, I mean, and I have a bunch of stories that are crazy, watching things leave from deliverance to lumps to rashes to legs growing out, you know, that were longer and shorter, and people being healed of cancer. And I'm just understand, I'm the jumper cable. I'm not the healer. I'm attached to the healer, and so can you be. And so I was doing things not understanding exactly how everything works, and that's the grace of God, because he's looking for people that will just believe him. Really, that's what he wants. He is looking, and there's scripture that says that he wants people that will just believe him, period. Take him at his word and believe him. Some of you all used to do that, and some of you were probably at one time fired up, and God was, you know, really big in your life, and you saw things, and you wanted, I want to be able to do some things like that. Well, you still can. It's just somehow we let the world get in and start messing with our thinking, and oh, that's, and we, what we do, and I've heard Pastor Gary say, if it doesn't work, then we make excuses why it doesn't. We change our doctrine. If that person didn't get free, well, all demons don't come out. Yeah, they do. They do. I said something that really ministered to me. She said this. I said it in a service. It just blew my mind. I've never heard it taught that way before, about the disciples and the boy, and the disciples couldn't cast it out. You remember that story? I tried to hear disciples. They couldn't cast it out. He threw himself in the fire and started having a seizure. What did he do when Jesus tried? He did the same thing. I never heard that preached before. The disciples just didn't stick with it. They just stayed there. Oh, no, he's coming out. Oh, he's coming out for sure. He did that demon did the same thing to the boy when Jesus talked to him. The exact same thing. But, you know, Jesus is just not going, this is just, it's just the fact, Jack, you're coming out. The disciples started doubting, and so the demon didn't have to come out. Pretty crazy. Help me out.
Okay. I'm like, Lord, where do I jump in on this?
I remember the Lord using you one time, well, many times, but the one time, he told you to stop hindering him.
Yeah.
Tell that.
Well, it was one of those times in our lives when so many things were going wrong. Like, I am going to say it. Well, Mal and Zach went on a youth group trip. And let me just preface this by saying, I didn't feel that they should go, but in my mind, I'm like, is that the Lord? I was questioning, and I didn't share that with my husband. But that was a big, bad lesson to learn. I let them go, and Zach fell from a rock wall. I don't know how many feet.
25.
They went, a rock climbing wall. Well, they didn't have his harness harnessed. So he fell.
Broke his femur bone in his leg, his
and
arm,
the,
concussion.
The youth pastor, the youth leader at the time did not even call me. Mallory called me. Yeah. And she, Mallory, and another youth, not the youth leader, but I'm thankful for Caitlin. You are definitely a cut above.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
It has nothing to do. It wasn't at
nope.
this church. It wasn't
what I'm
Caitlin
saying,
or Jeremy,
this was like 16 or no, more than that, maybe 20 years ago. I don't know, but I'm thankful for Caitlin, who takes charge. And anyway, just a lot of stuff that I could go into, but he fell. So Mallory and another youth prayed over him. And Mal put Zach on the phone. And, you know,
he was bleeding, and Mal was just speaking in tongues, didn't care who heard her, just because. What's the Bible say? When you don't know what to pray, you need the Holy Spirit, folks, mm-hmm. because you can pray in the Spirit, and the Bible says you pray perfectly. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, she didn't know what to. She was looking at the leader, and the leader was just like, I mean, this lady was livid. If that is even a word that I could say.
I know, but
that was,
I know, I'm kind of going deeper there. I'm just saying that happened. He had surgery. He has a
tight, she put him on the phone,
titanium rod in his leg, to make a long story short, and to cut out the madness that when the Bible says, you know, you don't mess with somebody's kids, because it's like, is it worse than a mama bear robbed of her cubs? Yeah, anyway, that happened. So he was recovering, and then, and this is the middle of summer, like it was July, because I remember we were doing sparklers, and Zach couldn't come out.
We were 40 minutes from the hospital, too.
Yeah.
And we were breaking sound barriers to get there. Yeah. She put him on the phone, and, you know, he's bleeding, his leg is broke, his arm is broke, and he's on the phone, he goes, Dad, I'm hurt, Dad. And I'm like, I'm on my way. Dad, I love you. I'm like, I love you. I am on my way. Oh, my goodness. That was a drive, boy, getting there. And we were the whole way there. And see, now, knowing what I know, we would probably have even handled it better or different. We wouldn't have let fear and everything take such a foothold and just start saying, you are fine in Jesus' name. And, you know, and we would declare the health and, yeah, those things had already happened. But, you know, we just let the situation almost control us. So, you know, you kind of learn some of those things, but I didn't mean to steal your...
No, because now I'm like, there were two other stories connected. Anyway, yeah, so Zach had the surgery. He came home and he was recouping. Then Sam got pneumonia, and it wasn't winter. We don't even know. He got pneumonia. Had it like a fever for 9 days. Then Maddie got pneumonia, and... yeah, it was just kind of crazy, and it kept hanging on to Maddie. Like, the fever got to the point where, you know, they say you can alternate Tylenol and ibuprofen to kind of... Well, her fever was climbing, and it wouldn't go down, and I was doing the alternating, and I was, you know, I had the cloth on her head, and And my husband, he is great. He was like Jesus down in the basement, like Jesus sleeping in the boat, you know, and I'm up here going, you're like Mary and Martha, blah, 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 blah. Do you not even care that her fever is 103 and he just had a peace? I didn't have that peace. So anyway, I was upstairs doing the thing and she wasn't getting better. And I put the cloth on her head. I was like doing everything in my power. And I had a vision of Jesus. I could see him by her bed. And he did this. He goes, stop hindering me. And I immediately, most times when Jesus speaks, like he can say just, you know exactly what he means. I knew what he meant. You know, like he could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. I was all up in unbelief, all up in that. And I knew what he meant. So I was like, I am sorry. And I went to our bedroom across the hallway where you were not. That's okay. He was sleeping in the basement. And I sat on the bed because you were in peace, because you were great.
Glad you're not holding that over me. Where he was not.
Hey, with the thing.
Sorry.
And I went and I sat and I said this like the guy in the Bible when he's like, I believe, help my unbelief. And I said that. I'm like, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And honestly, I can say I didn't feel like I was some spiritual giant or I felt all this faith, but I believe, help my unbelief. And it was that moment that her fever broke, that everything changed. And I don't know, things that you go through and that you learn, and the more that you know Jesus, you know the Father, you know who he is and his nature and everything he has given you, and what you have access to. But if you don't know it, you can't believe it, which kind of puts a stop. It does.
And he didn't put any of those on the kids.
But no, I'm not saying that.
No, I'm just clarifying so that they know. We're not saying that God made them have a fever so that we would learn this. That's a bunch of hogwash.
No. So, yep, that was.
There was one time she was sick or something, and she wasn't getting better. And we lived on Urban Chutes, not that far from here. And the Lord, she was upstairs with you. Isn't it amazing about a mother? Like a mother, like the kids always, you know, if there's something wrong, they, Mom, I can tell Maddie everything. Where's Mom? But I'm right here. I know, where's Mom? But anyway, the Lord had specifically told me, said, I don't even know how old she was at the time, but she was to lay on my chest. And so we were laying on the floor in the bathroom, and I don't think she could leave the toilet very far. So that's why she'd been hugging the porcelain, you know. So she was just pretty well. And I said, come here, baby. And we just laid there. And I'm telling you, God used me as like a healing blanket or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, she just immediately started getting better.
Right.
It was like a sponge would just soak up. And It's awesome. If you will allow and believe him, it's amazing. There's literally nothing God cannot do. But he cannot get involved if you don't let him. He will not break your free will. That's why he told her, stop hindering me. You know, and there's so many times, it's not that the Lord won't heal. It's we don't know his word. Mm-hmm. So we don't put it to use. And so that's why you hear us all the time. We are a word church. It's the word, the word, the word, the word. We also want to be a healing church. I want people to come and get healed and go back. And people are like, how'd that happen? Jesus. And so we want to incorporate all of what God does, and we want to start doing it in this facility. And so I actually grabbed a few people. We started Sunday. Did you see some of the prayer people? And there'll be more. But I just got who the Lord told me right now just to start with. And so I had a few people just come up and turn around, and they'll be here. You know, we're going to use people, not just me, but the people that have the same anointing in the house to pray for people. And so we're heading in the right direction. And we're, you know, I elbowed Scott and I said, Sunday, you watch, we'll be busting. And I gave him a number. And he, you know, what I love about Scotty is he just looks at me and goes, okay, I agree. You know, he just smiles at me, and I think that's great. but he loves me, so I just appreciate that. You know, so it is, and I'm sorry to keep forgetting you guys. I'm not. I'm trying.
Well, something to, the Lord wants to use you all. You know, I think there are some out there who think, well, God can't use me. You know, I can't do that. I don't have enough faith. I can't do that. But you do have the faith because you have, and this is the Bible says, and once you realize it, you'll be like, oh, it's not me. It's the very faith of God. And that's when you have said yes and you've given your heart to Jesus. He comes to live inside you. And I know sometimes people are like, that just sounds kind of, I don't even know. I can't explain it all either, but his spirit dwells in you. No longer will he write it on, you know, tablets. Stone tablets, but he writes it on our heart, and he lives and dwells. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So once you realize that, and you realize it's the faith of God, that's why just a mustard seed size of the faith of God can move a mountain if you talk to it. It's not about you being a spiritual giant, but it's about you knowing who you are in Christ. And you come as you are.
Yeah.
And there's no, we as people, we put expectations, or we put like, nah, you can't, no. You know, because that's what we've been taught. That's the culture. That's the, you're not good enough. You're not this. You're not that. You don't look like this. But I love it because God says he uses the foolish things of the world, or what people look at and go, well, you're not much. God goes, that's who I'm using to confound the wise. But what he wants to do, it's not going to stop here in the church. He wants you all to go out into, because you can touch people, and you're with people that we will never know.
You are the church. I mean, this is a building, but the church is the people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's so right, because we never, and again, just the authority. And I know the Lord showed Pastor Gary in deer hunting, but I took him to task. And Pastor knew that. I told him, I said, I'm going to test this out. And then I'll come back. And he goes, okay. But I mean, through all of these things that I have found out, I would do something. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Did that just happen? And it happened for him. It happened for me. I'd have where I'd believe. And again, it's a whole nother teaching. Won't go into it tonight. But just I sowed a seed. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. You know, and we control the measure. And there's a whole lesson in all of that stuff. But for my deer, and I've never had a deer come to my stand that wasn't one that I believed for. I've seen deer, but they weren't in shooting distance. But I saw a deer, and he was going the wrong way. And so I spoke and told that deer, you come back. And it came back, and I brought it home. We lived on High Point Road. He turned around after I spoke, and you can say, I don't believe that. I had deer in my freezer. And I watched him do it. I mean, I had a couple other ministers there. We were hunting on our land, and I didn't want to give up my spot because it was my sweet spot, and I really loved that spot. It was a ravine stand, and the Lord said, give it to him and his dad. So another pastor friend of mine and his dad hunted that ravine, and I always got a deer at the ravine, and it was black powder week, and the guy said, I'll let you use my black powder gun, and he had a pretty cool gun. I was like, okay. So I went to a place on my land, but I'd never hunted. I walked back there, but I never hunted. And I needed to get, I'd already got my buck, so I could only get a doe or a button buck. And a button buck is kind of like considered a doe, but it's just a male deer with little button antlers, you know, kind of like Rudolph you see them. And you can't see those half the time, so you don't know if it's a doe or whatever. And I had sowed my seed and believed God. And I'm watching the minister and his father are over there. And I'm like, oh, there, here comes a deer. I see it. I'd be getting that deer if I was over there. But I'm going through all of these human stuff in my mind. I'm like, so finally I found the Lord said to me, Brett, stop having a fit and just bless them. And I'm like, okay, God, just bless Randy. I just bless him in Jesus' name. Bless him till his eyes pop out. Oh, I don't care. Just bless him. You know, so I started changing that. And then I heard them shoot, and I thought, well, he probably got the deer. And I said, okay, Lord, well, I need that button buck. And I felt like he just said, here it comes. And here comes this deer and just walks. Basically, it was the only deer I saw that day. Walks almost right up to me from, no, me to maybe Mary or maybe that front seat. And I couldn't see the buttons or anything, but I felt like, oh, that's my deer. And you know, with the black powder, you get one shot. Of course, that's not very far. And so I went over after I shot it, and sure enough, had buttons on the top of its head. And just those things of just learning how good God is and how authority and dominion and we have that over the enemy, over all the things of the enemy. We don't think that sometimes, but it says you have the authority over all of whatever the enemy puts up. And if you don't know that, he'll put up anything. As long as you want to, if you tolerate it, he'll keep it there. That's why PK was saying sometimes it's just the enemy might be fighting you. You got to then pray in the spirit, see what that is, and then you can pinpoint that and get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So if you know what it is, you know, you can pray it. I'll tell you another story, and then we can pray for people or do whatever, or if you have anything else. I had another instance where somebody came and I started praying for people, and things started manifesting. I didn't know what to pray for other than at the beginning, you know, I just tried to calm myself to say, okay, and I started speaking in my prayer language, not real loud, but just, and there are people that are saying all kinds of things that are trying to get involved that don't need to be involved. Does that make sense? So that you have spectator referees, okay, just like in any football game. I think you need to pray murder out of that person, you know, or whatever they're saying. And they just, murder, you come out. And then people, oh, yes, yes, yes. And they start, you know, and you're just, now, you know, you start seeing why Jesus, and I'm not Jesus, but you start seeing like, clear the room. Just stop. And I remember the Lord said something specific. And he just, you know, I was praying in tongues and I just heard this word specific, you know, what to pray against and what to command. And so I said that. And man, as soon as I said that, it was almost like a bull rider, you know, where they have them in the gate and the guy sits on the bull and they go, run, two, three, and they open the gate and the bull's like, Pwah! You know, you thought it was like, okay, we hit something. Well, then I just commanded it to settle down, and then the line of everything he told me after that was like bang, 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 and in 5 minutes, it was over. It was over. And that person was in their right mind, and they were quiet, and the people, you have all those spectator referees. I knew it was that. I was going to call that out next. They can say whatever they want, and you know, but yet sometimes you just have to go, okay, if you were in charge of the meeting or whatever, and that's the situation there. But listening to the Holy Spirit and praying and letting him tell you, you will not go wrong. And sometimes, well, you know, and other people will ask, let me just ask you, you don't talk to demons because demons aren't known for telling the truth. Say yes. They're not known for telling the truth. They will lie. They'll even tell you something that's not true, so you'll spend 20 minutes trying to cast something out that's not there. But if you just go to the Spirit of God, God will just be like, just get all that stuff away. Go right here. And it just worked. And that, you know, those are things that I found with the Lord, is just cut to the chase. He's an incredible God, has all power. You need to understand Jesus, all power. When he took the keys back, all power, not just part power, some power, most power, all power, and he gave it to us to be able to demonstrate the kingdom. Because if the world needs anything, they need Jesus, and they need people that will demonstrate how good God is. And we don't need the world's system of doing everything. We just need the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anything?
I just really know that the Lord, what he you know, if you've given your heart to him, he wants to use all of you, and he wants everyone to know that you do have his spirit in you, and you can. You can raise the dead, mm-hmm. and he wants you to raise the dead, cast out demons, you know, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers.
Remember him? He raised a goldfish.
Yep.
We had a goldfish die. And what was the goldfish's name?
Carlo.
Carlo. Carlo went to vacation and everything. When Carlo died, Maddie was torn. Of course, you know, I thought we could throw the goldfish, get another one, and nobody would ever know. But she knew who Carlo was. But he was laying across the rock, you know, flopped over. He was dead. And of all things, this is a goldfish. Maddie's like, Daddy, do something. Carlo is dead. I remember I grabbed Carlo. I picked him up. He's laying. He's dead. His little fins aren't moving. His little breathy thing's not moving. We watched him for a long time. And I'm like, he's gone, honey. No, Daddy. So I picked him up. This is a true story. In a fishbowl. I just put my hand, I had him in my hand. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I just command Carlo, Carlo, you come back to life. And went like that. And he's just, yep. And Maddie's like, yay. And I'm like, oh, what just happened? I mean, so
Carlo
cool.
Carlo got better. And I mean, like he
got
was
huge.
He was a beta. So he looked really pretty in color, but he had been gone for so long that he had no color left in him.
And he was
so
bad.
Like every day after his resurrection, his color started coming back. I think he lived for 2 or 3 more years.
I don't know. But he was Carlo. Dead that day. But yeah. Then when I opened my hand and he fluttered out, I was like, and Maddie was like, yes! I'm like, God, you are incredible.
Yeah. So anyway, you ready to raise some beta fish from the dead?
Well, anyhow, let me tell you a couple things, and then we'll come down front. And I wanted to get you a little bit like, oh, okay. Today was busy, and I'm not going to give you all details yet because I don't know all the details yet. But just continue to pray for us for wisdom. But we're trying. The Lord is really pushing me to. We need to start doing some things in the building, and I may have you check with Tom because you're a builder out there, and you know just. But we want to do some things to bring awareness to people. Like, what is going on? So the parking lot is part of that. The parking lot hasn't been touched since the building went up in 92 or something like that. So we're looking at that. I met with the guy again today, but we're looking at maybe redoing just the entryway to make, put maybe double doors in the front instead of those wonderful doors that have just the peanut pin lock on the sides. And, you know, and do some things that'll make the building look, I mean, just... If the parking lot was done and well striped and all of that, and that was done, you know, it would be eye popping. People would say, "Okay, cool," and we might do some things out here as well. But you know, all of that we'll bring to you and just say we're all going to do it together because we're going to raise the money to do it, and we're going to stretch the stakes and move the pegs and believe and see further and go farther and seize the moment. And so that's why we're not picking a, I mean, it's a big project. It's a God project, but it's not like, okay, we're tearing the roof off and we're putting a second story in the whole building right now. And I am meeting with an architect next week because I want to talk about future things, get some of these other things that we can do while the congregation is the size it is now and help us to get to where we're supposed to be. So I hope that makes sense because I felt I needed to at least share that because we've talked about it, and I didn't want you to think I'm just sitting on something and we're never going to do anything. Our plans are to move the stakes and push things forward, and I don't know what that looks like yet. I don't know, you know, but obviously we want you to be asking the Lord as we get there, and we'll explain all of that. This is what we're doing. This is what we're believing for. When it comes to stuff like that, Kim and I don't I know I've heard some people, horror stories where people said, oh, I'm going to give a certain amount, and if they don't, then the church is calling them. We don't do that. Just so you know, we don't do that. I'm just trusting you to listen to the Lord, and we'll listen to the Lord, and we'll believe, and again, we'll set the measure, and we'll see it happen. We'll see this, because we're believing, and I know Pastor Gary has said what he believes is going to happen here, and we believe it too. So good things are coming. If you need prayer tonight, I'll be down front. PK will be down there front. And if you have any offering to give and want to give to TLC tonight, I'll have Scott is back there, and he can stand back there and just put something in the basket if you want to give tonight. We'd appreciate that. And that's about it, I think.
Just one more thing. Is my mic still on? Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit and you're listening to Pastor talk mm-hmm. about praying in the Spirit, that's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the Spirit of the Lord praying through you. Anyway, when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a new boldness comes upon you. That's why when Jesus was resurrected and he told them to go wait in the upper room, if you remember that story, you can go back and read it. He said to wait there for power. And after that power, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them like mm-hmm. tongues of fire. That's when they went out and preached and were witnesses. So it gives you a boldness. So I just want to, if you want that in your life, we'll pray. I just felt to offer that invitation.
And I'll say this to help you. It's like anything in the kingdom. You confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and do not doubt. If you believe you received, and according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, we believe we receive when we pray. You pray and ask for the Holy Spirit tonight, and you're like, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and we're not going to tell you what to say because I'm not God, so I can't. But you're like, I didn't speak in tongues. Listen to what I'm telling you right now. Listen to what I'm telling you right now. You received it. He's there. And you believe you received when you prayed. So you receive it, whether you spoke in tongues tonight or not. If you believe you receive, you might be driving down the road tomorrow and be like, I'm going to turn right. Shandalalama. You know, I mean, we've heard stories all of like that, because again, we believe we receive when we pray. So it's not, that really helped me just to know that, okay, whether I was afraid and I didn't, you know, he's still in there.
Well, too, and it's, you can, that could happen right away. For
yes.
me, when I got saved, I was 14 when I got saved, and someone said, do you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm like, well, yeah, I do. So I went down, and I got filled right away.
Yeah, a lot of people that happens to.
Right, but for you, it was different,
yeah.
And that was the way it was with my dad. So I just want you to know it can happen right away, but you know you believe you receive when you
And it really is just, you know, it was me. It wasn't God. It was just me like, oh, I don't know. I'm kind of afraid, kind of, you know, this or whatever. And then it would happen. It happened later. But most people, if they just like, yeah, if it's from God, I want it, you'll get it tonight. And it'll be that easy. And it basically, you'll ask to receive that. God will put words in your mind that don't sound like English. I don't know what those words are. But if you don't speak them, you won't hear anything. You just have to, it is a co-op deal. You're gonna speak what God's gonna put there. Does that make sense? So you're going to say those words if they're not English. And I don't know what they are, but you don't either until you say them. And then I have people that ask me, what if I forget? You know how many students got filled at camp over the 12 years or whatever? I've lost count, hundreds. But what if I forget? God won't let you forget, because it's His Spirit that's in there. And your language won't be exactly like somebody else's. It's just going to be a little bit different, or maybe a lot of bit different, just depending. But it's crazy good. And if it's like plugging in from a 220 to a 440, if that's what you want, it's pretty amazing, because you can pray perfectly, and God will intervene in situations because you have been able to cut through the red tape. so to speak. Okay? All right. We're going to be down front. There's no pressure. If you're done for the night, Scott will be back there. You can, you know, if you want to give tonight and then give that, go out to the foyer, fellowship with one another, and you know, we'll see you Sunday.